You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Michael Fitzhugh Bell. Michael is a writer who has written articles for Palm Springs Life magazine and won several writing contests while at prep school and college. His books, The Invisible Crime, Parts 1 and 2, were written after 7 years of exhausting research. Michael is considered a targeted individual, or TI. His first book was written for two reasons: to make the American public aware of this technology and the unconscionable crimes for which it is used, and to help other targeted individuals gain control of their lives and cope with this nightmare from which they never seem to wake. You can find Michael on his websites, www.michaelfbell.com, or on www.invisiblecrime.com. So let's welcome Michael to the show now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
It's nice to be here, Lance. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You have kind of an unusual situation, and not that unusual. Apparently, there are more of you than we are aware of. But do you want to get briefly into how you became a targeted individual and how it came about? What was the purpose of it?
Well, I can tell you, when I look back, I realize that I've been a targeted individual for a lot longer than I first realized. When I first realized, it was in 2001, and then I just noticed something that was very odd in my life. I was receiving what you would call organized stalking. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was at the time. All these very unusual things were happening to me in the apartment complexes that I lived in Hollywood, California, and then it culminated in an abduction in 2008. But I'll just tell you briefly, I was a screenwriter in Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. An aspiring screenwriter, like so many people that live out there,
right?
And I was just getting my foot in the door with some of the big agencies and getting some of the studios to look at my work. When one night I was drugged and abducted from my apartment in Hollywood, and I remember bits and pieces of the abduction. I remember the perpetrators wearing very frightening masks and black robes. I remember at another point being lying on an operating table somewhere with surgeons standing over me with surgical masks. I could see that these were men with masks on. I was lying there. And then I woke up, which I thought was the next morning, but it was really eight days later. And
whoa.
I noticed that my body was riddled with these tiny corresponding symmetrical surgical incision scars from head to toe. I couldn't figure out what had happened to me. I consulted with private investigators. I happened to meet an ex-CIA agent during this process, and they all informed me, from when I described to them what happened to me, that it sounded like that I had become what's known as a targeted individual, and that perhaps I had been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was determined to prove that this is what happened to me, that I was a victim of this terrible crime. And then I realized how difficult it is to get medical imaging in this country. You can't just go and demand an MRI to be done or an ultrasound. You need to have a doctor approve it. It needs to go through the proper channels. There's a lot of litany involved in getting validated, documented MRI images, ultrasounds. So, but that's this country. So I literally traveled around the world collecting medical evidence in the forms of MRIs, ultrasounds, x-rays, all clearly showing foreign objects directly beneath these surgical incision scars. And so in my first book, I published all of that information in the first book, proving with showing all my evidence on all my doctor's reports from Spain and from London, all of these foreign objects, without question, that they are foreign objects for sure, and believed to be biomedical devices. That's what I believe, and my research has shown. And I did have one removed, but it was taken away from me by the doctor as soon as it was removed from my lower jaw.
Huh.
So really what this is what targeted individuals are in my research, is that targeted individuals are human experimentation test subjects believed to be victimized by classified technologies.
Mm.
And it's and then you ask, well, what are the experiments for? The experiments are for the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind.
Huh. Well, now, how would that work? How does that come into play as a weapon?
Well, what I'm a part of is what's known as an unacknowledged special access program at the highest levels, monarch levels of classified information. So in my research, and what I've uncovered is that through these classified technologies, it's possible to track, monitor, view, surveillance, and actually read the thoughts of a person remotely from great distances in real time.
Wow. And that's with
Yes. And not only what I refer to in my second book as synthetic telepathy. And
that is the description
of a bidirectional human mind to supercomputer technology that's bidirectional. It not only reads the information in real time, that's translating a human being's thoughts into words on the other end in real time, and at the same time putting back influence. So if you can read someone's thoughts and put thoughts into their head through this technology, that's where it's a weapon in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be true. Yes, of course. And I've always thought that the chips that they've been wanting to install on us, which they haven't had as much luck with as they had probably hoped. They wanted to just railroad us all into having them, but that those are two-way communications. That's not just, you know, a device that opens doors and operates copy machines. It's a transmitting and receiving device that's very sophisticated and has the capability of a mind control and mind reading. And so it does seem as if, with the advent of 5G, that those who are running the world appear to be wanting to have every person accounted for and to be able to see through their devices and their eyes and their cars and their television sets and basically have a happy-go-lucky, brave new world.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're halfway, well, maybe further than halfway there, because I noticed in your book, you said that an estimated 50% of Americans are already chipped with RFID microchip technology. And I did not know
right. That.
If that's true, they've made a lot of progress.
The estimates, and believe me, these are estimates, because I have people that I know that are sticklers for me using the proper terminology. So I'll even go lighter than that. I will say that it's estimated that somewhere between one-third and 50% of all Americans have already been implanted with RFID technology in my research.
Well, now that's done surreptitiously, right? They're not told that they have these implants, are they?
That's absolutely true. And then people would wonder, well, how is this being done?
Right.
There's a host of possibilities of how it's being accomplished.
Uh-huh.
One would certainly be obvious whenever you go for a medical procedure.
Right.
Whether it's one that's necessary or a cosmetic one, any kind of medical surgery. It could possibly come through vaccinations or shots, or when you go to the dentist. Those kind of implants is also opening the doorway up to the possibility of it being implanted. And also, you have to think about, you have those obvious ones, but then you're also thinking about how about like what happened to me, what I wrote about in my book, that was done to me. I was taken from my apartment.
Wow.
I wrote in the first book, at least 10 separate occasions I was taken from my apartment. The first one lasted over a week, 8 days. But here's the other thing that people don't realize. When this happened to me, when I was first abducted, when I thought it was the next morning, but it was 8 days later, I still had whatever I had been drugged with. And my research shows that it may have been a drug called scopolamine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that on my mind when you said it.
Yeah, and it's also known as Colombian devil's breath. It's also known as the world's most dangerous drug, because it's not a recreational drug. It's a drug that would only be used for robbery, sexual assault, or abductions.
Wow.
And it leaves very little trace. It's odorless, colorless, tasteless, and it's very difficult to test for, and leaves the body within 48 hours completely. So that's another reason why I called the book The Invisible Crime, because there's so many different components to this crime. It's a very sophisticated, it can be compared to an octopus with many different tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one thing. It's many things that work together. For instance, if you look what I describe as the invisible crime, it's broken down into three components, three central components: organized stalking, electronic harassment, and then the remotely induced mind control. But those are the three central components, but there are many other different aspects all pulled together that galvanize this into one crime. But it's very sophisticated. And also, in the second book, I discuss, it's also very, very expensive. And I talk about in the second book how much it costs to be a targeted individual. Yeah, I'll just mention that if you'd like to hear that, some of the statistics in my very exhaustive research from people that know much more than I do, and it's what's known as we're known as targeted individuals, the people that are being human experimentation test subjects, but it's really the what it's really referred to as is the United States Neurological Warfare Program.
And
it's so and you're looking and you're also you have to it's such a sophisticated, complex crime that the level of sophistication is beyond the level at which most people can comprehend. It's just, it's mind-boggling that this is happening, that it exists, and that it is based in secrecy and deception.
Mm-hmm.
Without those two things, and also with the complicity and acquiescence of the United States government, the community and law enforcement make it nearly impossible for targeted individuals to get anyone to take their complaints seriously. So when I did the research for the United States Psychological Warfare Program, what's believed to be happening, what I'm believed to be a test subject of, the statistics show In a chapter in the new book, which only came out last September, less than a year ago, only 8 months ago, the new book, I have a chapter called "The Statistics Are Staggering," and it's $4 billion from taxpayer money for every 1,000 targeted individuals every year.
Wow.
$4 billion for every 1,000. So that's $1 billion for every 250 targeted individuals. For every one targeted individual, it's $4 million per year of taxpayer money. And it's been estimated that since the beginning of the inception of this program, which fell on the heels of World War II and Operation Paperclip, that since then, it's been estimated that there have been trillions of dollars poured into this program. So you have to understand that the people, the cabal, the people who are behind this program are working very hard to keep it from being exposed. And me, too. When I do an interview like this, oftentimes, it's happened to me in the past. Hopefully, it won't happen tonight. But I believe my perpetrators, the people that are responsible for my immediate targeting, are using frequency signal weapons on me that are trying to diminish my ability to communicate effectively to the listeners, jamming and dulling my focus, disorienting me as I try to form and convey thoughts, sometimes even mid-sentence, completely compromising my credibility to the listener. It's being done on purpose because obviously the people who are behind this are terribly threatened by me and what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Sure.
So there's major discrediting going on with anybody that is coming out to reveal the truth, and they keep us off center and unbalanced, and of course, that leads to a fracturing of opinion, and so you have some people on one side and some on another still, and they just break these break people up into groups, and nobody can concede that there is any one thing that is going on there. So it's like terror events. I have one of my guests talks about those, and they are all basically manufactured, and they're, you know, drawn out, and certain people are taken to the site, and there's certain familiar things that they do every time. And I used to think that was kind of unusual, but now, in retrospect, given the kind of world that we live in, nothing surprises me.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I think the most well, and also I wanted to share something else which I haven't really talked about that much.
Oh, good.
That you may be interested in, you know, somebody would say the first thing that most people that are unfamiliar with this crime, and also, by the way, this crime that I'm a victim of is being scaled to the entire human population.
So, oh, my gosh.
So if you're not a targeted individual today, you may become one tomorrow.
Wow. Well, we better pay attention to this information.
And if the powers that be have their way, everyone, it's, and that will lead to human enslavement and depopulation.
Yes.
So it's, and you look at, if we, another interesting aspect that I talk about in the new book is the, well, I slid off for a second. I was going to tell you something else, and see, that's another thing. So I want to go back to what I was originally going to tell you, and then I'll go to the other subject that I was going to tell you about.
Okay, good.
People ask me, why would they choose you? What's so special about you? Why would they choose you? Why would they spend so much money and so much time and so much energy with so many people involved, with such a sophisticated program, so much secrecy and deception? Why you? It's because, well, they don't pick people that are known. They're, in general, in this, I mean, I was picked for a different reason, I believe, but in general, the targeted individuals that I'm in contact with, all what you would call nobodies. They are not well-known people. That's exactly the type of person that the government wants to experiment on. They don't want to experiment on somebody who has mainstream media connections. You know, they don't want this thing being exposed. They want to experiment on people that are not known, that can be easily discredited and not believed by most people.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to me is a little bit different. People ask me, what do you think got you into the program? And I didn't know for a long time, but I believe when I look back now, it seems to be quite clear that when I was 19 years old, I was responsible for a terrible accident in which the person who was traveling in the vehicle with me happened to be a part of, a direct descendant of, one of the most wealthy, one of the most influential, and one of the most powerful families in the entire world, with extremely strong political ties and government connections. So when people, and this family happens to be one of the Illuminati 13 families.
Oh.
So if you ask me, what happened to you, why do you think you got into the program, I would be silly not to consider that possibility. It seems very possible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to make sense to some degree as an act of retribution or punishment to me, you see, because the person who was in the accident was crippled for life.
Oh, gee.
So it seems to be logical on that level. If you think like someone who needs revenge or retribution, it seems to make sense to some degree. I can't think of that not being a possibility.
Right.
It has to be considered as a possibility for sure, directly,
right,
for sure.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. But when, and also, this is the other thing I was going to get to that I diverted from. I want to get back to. Thank goodness I remembered. I remembered not to forget. Yes,
that was good. That was good for you.
Yes. Yes. The number of victims of this crime worldwide is estimated to be, well, you look at the global population. It's right now, it's about 7.5 billion people. The number of victims, the number of targeted individuals around the world globally is believed to be 1% of 7.5 billion. That doesn't sound like much, but talking about 7.5 billion, 1% of that is 75 million people. That's a lot of people. That's seven times the size of New York City.
Just individuals.
And some of these people, I mean, at my level, what I describe in the new book, my level of targeting is, although there is no good level of being a targeted individual, there are certainly different levels of being a targeted individual. And some of them are more severe than others. I will say that. I don't mean to discredit the people that aren't at the highest levels, but I am certainly what you would call a signature or a hard target at the highest levels of being a victim of this crime. Huh. And that is less than 1% of the 1%. So roughly somewhere between 700 and 750,000 people around the world like me at my level of targeting, less than a million. That's narrowing the scope, because at my level of targeting, it's obviously involves, it's more expensive. It's a higher level. And also in my research, I've discovered that it seems to me that I am a part of five different unacknowledged special access programs. One of them is the organized stalking program. Mm-hmm. Another one is the electronic harassment program. The third one is the remotely induced mind control program. The fourth one is the transhuman super soldier program.
Ah, yes.
And the fifth one is the biological weapons program, which I have a very uncommon, rare skin disorder called Morgellons disease. Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely. I have a friend who has it.
Yes, it's a rare unacknowledged skin disorder that's experienced by a small percentage of targeted individuals, alleged to be a man-made pathogen or parasite, a synthetic microorganism, which is believed to be part of the U.S. biological weapons program. And victims of this disease are routinely falsely labeled with delusional parasitosis, although misdiagnosis can be used, intentional misdiagnosis can be used as a weapon against target. So, even though you're telling the truth, that's what happened to me that I discuss in my first book. When this first happened to me, when I was first abducted, the first thing I started to do when I left my apartment in Hollywood was walk to the police station. And then I realized halfway, it was only a couple of blocks away, but I realized halfway there that they were going to ask me if I had any proof. So I would be lost, but I realized that I still had whatever they drugged me with in my system. And I talked to private investigators about it, and they told me that it most likely was scopolamine, and I should go to the emergency room and be tested for it to prove that I had been drugged. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I did when I went to when I made the mistake of telling the people in the emergency room what had happened to me. Mm-hmm. They used that as an opportunity to lock me up in a psychiatric ward for 6 days, in which further, more complex, advanced surgeries were performed on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then they, after all this, thank goodness my sister had called up and threatened to sue the hospital, and they released me. And then they tried to charge me. After all this had happened, being a victim, they tried to charge me $20,000 on top of it.
Wow.
You can't think of a worse nightmare. And then you try to explain to people what you are actually a victim of. And you're put in a very compromising position because you have the complicity and acquiescence of the government, the medical community, and the law enforcement all working against you, preventing you from proving your crime. So individuals are put in a very tight spot in terms of being taken seriously, because if there wasn't complicity of the United States government, of the medical community, and with law enforcement, their complaints would be taken seriously. You see?
Yeah.
Definitely they would, but with those three elements working against you, it makes it nearly impossible to prove your case.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now, of course, there's another method of delivery with any of these nanotechnological devices, and that is, it seems quite innocent, that they're using medicine itself to that's filled with nanotech. And,
correct.
Yeah, and correct. It transmits to, I guess, a local receiver if you've taken your medication. So those self-replicating nanobots are floating around in your body, which doesn't seem very natural, and you know, you're then a part of the big brother, big pharma, take your pills routine.
That's right. That's and there is your other source of a possibility of where you could be implanted from is through your medication, certainly.
That's right. That's right.
And very easy to overlook. People would say, now, who would do such a thing? Why would people do something like that? Well, when you're talking about controlling the entire planet, it's not hard to perceive that people will go to any length possible for control. That's the ultimate. It's not about money. It's
right.
About control.
Yep, that's it. And, of course, for those who are at the top of the pyramid, there's also an added bonus of being living gods and or acting like gods, and
right.
Immortality is dangled in front of them.
That's right. And also, too, another you just made me think of something else. The people in my new book, I break down certainly on three levels. There may be others. I'm sure there are many others. But three levels of the perpetrators, the people that are involved with this crime, I list is in three different levels. One I list is the primary perpetrator. And I call them the handlers. That's the team of people that are assigned directly to an individual. Usually, in my research, four people in one of these handler teams, usually working two people per shift in 12-hour shifts. Some targets may require 6 to 8 handlers working in 6 to 8 hour shifts around the clock, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the other thing that I talk about is in these handler groups, there must necessarily be a computer specialist as one of these people, as the manipulation of the targeted individual's computer and email are a crucial part of mind control. The second group of, and also in that group of handlers, you probably also have a psychologist as well as other specialists, perhaps even electronics specialists that are able to wiretap and tap into the targeted individual's power grid in their house, their television, their phone, everything that they touch electronically can be manipulated and controlled remotely by this group. So that's the one group, the primary perpetrators or the handlers, as I refer to them.
Right.
Second group would be the organized stalkers, the people that work, that are out on the street, that are on foot or in car, following, leading, accompanying the targeted individual wherever they go, usually waiting right outside of the residence, as they do with me. Usually two cars are posted at the bottom of my driveway, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never stops. Sometimes it's a motorcycle. Sometimes it's someone on a bicycle. But there's always two people. Usually there are two cars at the bottom of my driveway. And one of those cars will end up following me, and then wherever I go. So that's the organized stalking. That's a whole nother thing. It's so much to talk about. I'm so sorry. I'm tripping trying to explain everything. That's the organized stalkers, a second category of perpetrators. The third category are actually people that are, in my research, believed to be people that are already being mind controlled and are unwitting perpetrators.
Yes.
You don't even realize that they're doing something that you've been sensitized to torment you, to bother you, to harass you. This is what's believed to be unwitting perpetrators. So they don't even realize what they're doing is something that you've been sensitized to recognize. But there are the organized stalkers who are intentional and know what they're doing. But see, the other thing that I talk about is that this crime is so secret. There's so much deception. The perpetrators are actually the largest control group of this experiment. The perpetrators themselves represent the largest control group of the experiment. The perpetrators, all of them, the handlers at the highest level, are themselves victims of mind control.
Wow. Well, of course, that would make sense, too.
Yes. Yeah, it completely makes sense. It is, as I describe in the second book, the crime is people who are controlling people who are in turn being controlled by other people.
That's kind of funny.
And it continues to go up.
It continues to go up.
Each group thinking that it stops with them, not realizing that they themselves are part of the experiment.
Right. And of course, for an experiment to be successful, you have to keep it a double blind, so you can't tell the participants that they are being experimented on.
Correct. You were so right, Lance.
Yep. And of course, in this kind of instance where the general public is becoming mind controlled or chipped or whatever, that has to be completely hush-hush, because they wouldn't want that getting out. Through the cracks.
Well, you know, as I said before, you're absolutely right. This, you have to think of this. This is how sophisticated the crime is. It's as I said earlier, it's the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind. But what I didn't say is that it involves every aspect of science, neuroscience, medicine, psychology, physics, as well as war techniques, tactics, and methods. It's really the sum of all human knowledge. That's what crime is. And I would have to say that there is no conspiracy that is bigger than this one. This is at the top. If the conspiracies, there may be other conspiracies that are true. It may be that the chemtrails and the aliens and those things are, and even if those conspiracies are all true, they would take a back seat to this conspiracy.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably right.
For sure. Yes. This involves, this is the most It's the biggest conspiracy in the history of mankind. Nothing could be bigger. Think about it.
Well,
people controlling people. Nobody even knows what they're doing. They don't even know they're being controlled. It's the biggest thing ever.
Well, right. And, of course, the groups that started all this stuff, or Tavistock and MK Ultra, and probably continue to do it,
right.
have a blanket of secrecy around it. So
yes,
they can do the most horrific things and then use it on the general public.
Correct. And as you said earlier, the public, as you said very accurately, is being dumbed down for sure.
No and question about it.
Making it easier and opening the door for this crime even wider. It's based in secrecy and deception on a dumbed down general public makes
yes.
it very easy, and not only that, nearly impossible to stop.
Yes, that has to go hand in hand with any program like that.
Right.
But they're certainly not going to initiate programs that can be stopped. They're going to initiate vast programs that are so enormous and so secretive that it would be almost impossible to stop them.
Right. And because the money is never ending, it's coming out
right.
of the U.S. taxpayer. It's money, in my research, it's money that was originally supposed to go to the military, which was then deflected into black ops, the shadow government,
right.
and then into secret programs, unacknowledged special access programs like the ones that I've been telling you about.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to see how it continues to go around, and it pays for itself. And see, when you have something like that, that has unlimited pockets, these pockets are never ending. There's nothing that can be too expensive for this thing to accomplish. Because money is of no object to
That's
this
right. crime. They have most of it already.
So no matter how far-fetched it may be, how yep. much money it takes to keep it concealed, it's all free money. It's
oh,
coming
yeah.
out of nobody's actually paying for it except for the public, and they're paying for a crime that will eventually turn on them.
Exactly.
And they'll be paying for themselves to be targeted.
They're paying for their own subjugation in a
Correct.
Society that is increasingly oriented towards slavery and mind control and death.
That's right. Yes. And also, in the another thing I didn't I have so many things I and also feel free, Lance, if you have anything that I haven't covered enough that you want me to go into further detail. I wanted to also mention some of the proven to exist and work technologies that have been recently declassified that are out there. They're real. So there's nothing that people can say, oh, that's not, it's declassified. It's real. It's been going on for a long time. When you look at something like a lot of targeted individuals complain of the voice to skull technology.
Oh,
for instance.
Yeah. Boy, that's spooky.
For the listeners that are not familiar with that technology, that is a proven to exist and
Absolutely.
Work technology. It's called voice to skull, or V2K. It's voice to skull is a device weapon used for transmitting voices on low or high frequencies. The voice to skull is the transmission of a voice or any other audible subliminal sound directly into the hearing sense of the mind control victim.
Mm-hmm.
So, and other people are not able to hear this,
right.
but the targeted individual will hear this. And they are, and some targeted individuals that I know have actually been able to record the devices with this technology through digital voice recorders. So some people have been able to successfully do that, although it's not easy. But that's being used on people, and that's already been declassified. That's real. And also another thing, another very disturbing and awful part of being a targeted individual, perhaps the most damaging aspect, is the electronic sleep deprivation.
Ooh.
That occurs. That often, in my research in the second book, there are several different methods and techniques that may be responsible for this, but certainly one of the ones that I mentioned in the second book is something called the LIDA machine, and that is a proven to exist and work technology, declassified. It's actually an older technology, first created in Russia, that uses radio frequency pulses that will align themselves with the targeted individual when they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. It's able to sense the heart rate of the person. And as a person is falling to sleep, just as they're drifting off to sleep is when their heart rate begins to get lower and lower and lower, and to the point when they're actually sleeping, just at that moment when they're falling asleep, they are sent an electrical jolt at that second through these radio frequency waves. At least this is one of the techniques that's being used. And constantly, this is a cycle that will repeat itself throughout the night on the targeted individual. And then also, instead of what they would have been receiving as rapid eye movement, the most valuable part of the sleep, the REM sleep, is replaced with, it's called dream induction, manipulated dreams, dreams that aren't even real. And I remember when I was young what my natural, normal dreams were. And for many years now, I haven't had those normal natural dreams that were a product of my own imagination.
Right.
These are manipulated dreams. These are programmed dreams that you can tell the difference, that they're not your normal natural dreams. Even in the dream, you can realize that this is not a real dream.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not able. Sometimes it seems so real and so vivid that when you're sleeping, as a victim, many victims are unable to make the distinction to know what is real and what is not. And there's been times for me, I can tell you, with my dream manipulation, there's been times where I've had to force myself to wake in the middle of these dreams. Some of them, you can imagine all of them are disturbing. Any product that is being forced on you is very disturbing. It's not natural. And also, too, the people, again, going back to the perpetrators that are responsible for these crimes, they, especially the handlers, obviously know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They obviously know, even if they are being mind controlled, they know enough to know that what they are doing is highly illegal and breaks dozens of laws at the very least. And these crimes of human experimentation are exactly what the Nazis were put to death for. This is exactly the same as murder. It gets treated the same. It is a capital crime. It's a war crime. Experimentation is a war crime, and it is the highest crime. There is no crime higher than that. It may be on par with murder, but nothing is beyond it. So it gets the same punishment as murder.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that the cities are designed using reverse sacred geometry, and that they're designed to keep people from connecting in dream time. So the most major cities have are laid out in such a way that it's extremely difficult for the people living there to have a dream time at all, because they use reversed sacred geometry in throughout the city. And, of course, they've also got devices that, as you said, device that shuts dreams off, but they don't want us dreaming. That's one thing for sure, and being creative and using our imagination and thinking for ourselves.
Right. That's absolutely right. In that respect, people are being robbed of their free will, their free will, their free imagination, their freedom, all the way around.
All the way around.
And most of them probably completely unaware, completely unwitting, oblivious that any of this is even happening, and would probably not believe it, even if somebody, even when confronted with the truth, would find it very difficult to believe, for sure.
That's the surefire test of how well they've done their job in bamboozling the humanity, is that they wouldn't believe it if you told them.
That's right. That's sadly, I have to say, that's the genius of the crime.
That's right.
I mean, it is absolutely horrendous, evil, brutal, severe crime. But it is also a very genius crime. It's a genius in that it covers its own tracks naturally. Doesn't even have to try.
Right.
It covers its own tracks without even trying. It completes its own revolution. It's a full cycle with no help from anyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, the more that you can get people in society to act as your employees or your monitors and tell on each other and turn people in and do this and that and the other thing, the more time is saved up the chain. So, you know, most people are programmed to do things that they that are helping the cabal to bring us to our knees.
Right. You're absolutely right, Lance. That's absolutely right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's there's so much of it that you can't. It's so overwhelming that you literally can hardly conceive of all of it, for one thing. But when you start thinking about smart meters and chemtrails and fluoride in the water and nanotechnology and all the things that we've been talking about, then you have a laundry list that is extremely long. And, you know, chemtrails are not acknowledged to this day. And it's not even in the dictionary because they're not going to acknowledge that it's a real word. And
right.
So, yeah. So there you have that one. They've got that one covered.
And all the people that are flying those missions all day, every day, 24/7. I mean, and refueling and restocking up those dispersers that are 24/7. And the people and obviously the pilots have to be unaware.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, and I just had a curiosity, since we're almost out of time. I wanted to ask you, what happened to the devices that were installed in your body? Are they still in there, and what do they do? Is there any pain involved?
Yes, that's a great question, Lance. I did have one device removed from my jaw. That was taken away from me at the doctor's office. Usually the chain of custody goes to the who it's removed from, whatever it is. If it's anything inorganic, it belongs to the person. But in this case, when I went and visited the doctor, when they first wanted to take it out, he said, no problem. But when I came back for the removal a week later, he was a different person. He'd been spoken to. I could tell.
And
he
was
And he wanted to get it out, and then he wanted to hold on to it and send it to pathology, as he said.
So, I bet that never happened.
Yes, that's right. They said it was a mucoid formation. But of course, that's just them covering their tracks. But you asked about the other devices. let me just tell you, I mean, in the first book, I list, I included all of my MRIs and my ultrasounds and the actual verification from doctors in Spain and in London that acknowledged these devices inside me are throwing off a frequency like they're alive. I could see it in the ultrasound, which is a live streaming image. I could actually see it. You could see the frequency. The doctor found it in 2 seconds, the one that was in my navel. It's still there. I tried to have that one removed, and I had a false surgery, and they left it in there and probably, most likely, put another one in.
Oh, so, my goodness.
And then also, I wanted to say quickly, from head to toe, I have counted. I stopped counting with these. You see, with each one of these surgery incision scars, which are small and hard to find, but once you see them, you know what you're looking for. They're easy to see. On people that I point them out to, I can find them on literally everyone's hands.
Michael,
that
we're running out of time.
Oh,
and
sorry.
So there's another show that comes on after us, so they need to spend some time getting that set up. So we can save that for our next conversation in a month or two, and I'll have you back. How's that?
That would be great. I would love that, Lance. I would really love it.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad that you came on, because these things are really important, and it's important to get the information out there. So all of your websites are listed, and people can find them and check them out and read your books. And I just want to thank you for being on the show and sharing something that's a very painful part of your life.
Thank you. Well, you were very nice. Well, you obviously are very familiar with this, so that made it a lot easier. Thank you, Lance.
All right. Good night, Michael. Good night, everybody.